I am here with a man we just saw walking down the street, and we invited him to come preach. Isaac, how long have you been at Christ Center now?
It's been about 10 years, a little bit over 10 years, I think, now.
10 years. He moved over here from the great and cold state of Michigan and married Abby, and they have like 11 kids now or something, and it's amazing. Isaac has been faithfully serving with the police department. He's going to talk a little bit about what he does over there. And just faithfully working in our city and being kind of an ambassador. He's a really good dude. And we've had him share before. He's a gifted speaker. And I think he's got a good word for us this morning. So can we pray for Isaac? Can you stretch your hands out? Lord, we thank you for this man. We thank you for what you've deposited in him. And we pray now that you would give him boldness to speak your word and clarity. And Lord, I pray for each and everyone here that you would open our hearts and our ears to hear what you might have to say. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So I introduce to you Mr. Isaac Cox, everybody.
You know, it never ceases to surprise me before I come up for a preach. Like, I was a full ride Division I collegiate athlete, raced against Olympians, raced against professional athletes, had a Nike National Championship race at Hayward Field in high school. But the nerves that I have before I come up to preach are just different. It's a different level because, like, I can run in a circle and get a medal, and at the end of the day, that medal's somewhere. I don't even know where they are. Like, this is a matter of life and death to me. Like, I'm trying to preach to speak to some souls, and that's a power that I just don't have as a person. There's nothing I can do to connect soul to soul. Like, that's gotta be a work of the Spirit. There's gotta be Holy Spirit in this, or this is just a waste of time. And hopefully it's not gonna be a waste of time.
We'll let you know.
Thank you. Good. I'm supposed to come up here and talk about Christ Center's core value that we are called to extend God's kingdom. And this is an idea and a thought that resonates with me to such a deep level. I had a lot of joy in preparing for this because it's just something that's been hardwired in my heart. I want to do a couple things. One, I want to talk about why we are called to do this, why we should care, really is what I want to talk about, is why we should care about this mission that we have. And then I'm going to talk about how, and that's when I'm going to get into the workplace and hopefully bring some context that will help everybody in this room apply this mission into our context and our places of work. So let's talk about the why. To talk about the why and understand the why, I think we really need to go back and understand the narrative of Scripture. This is something that we recently did with Amber and Jason going through a series and talking about Scripture and understanding the whole narrative, so I'm not going to labor on this very much, but there was a plan and a mission that was set in place, and people attached themselves to passions and missions. And not all these things are bad. For some people, it's like my physical body. I'm going to build this body up at all costs. For some people, it's their bank accounts. It's their career. It's their parenting. They're being a father, them being a mother. These ideas, they're not bad. I'm not saying these are bad. But I will say there is a mission. There is a purpose. There is a passion for the believer that should supersede all other missions, purposes, and passions. And that's what we're going to talk about today, this idea of extending God's kingdom. So this mission, this purpose, and this passion, it started in the garden. When the betrayal, when sin came in, this idea was planted in the Lord's mind and in Father's mind that I need to redeem these people. And there are so many different ways that he could have done it, but he chose this route of waiting thousands and thousands and thousands of years. He chose this route of forcing his people to hold on to a hope, to hold on to a story, to share it from generation to generation, from father to son and mother to daughter for thousands of years through exile. We know the story. And then along comes Jesus, and he says, I am the Messiah. I am the way. I am the truth. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then we killed him for it. But the thing about Jesus was, like, the, you know, the Romans, they crucified a ton of people, right? They crucified a ton of people. But there's something different about Jesus, because for some reason, this one person they crucified, most of the world still knows about him 2,000 years later. There's something different about him. And one of the things was that he died but didn't stay dead. That's pretty miraculous. And that's what we believe as believers. This man died but didn't stay dead. And so he came back. He gathered his disciples. And this is where we're going to get to the why now. This is what he says. Matthew 28, verses 18, 19, and 20. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." But pause right there. How much authority has been given to him?
All
authority. Where? Heaven and on earth. All of the authority has been given to him. So what does that mean? That means there ain't no authority left for anybody else. It's all his. I don't have authority. That's why I say I come up here, like, I don't have authority to preach and connect soul to soul. I don't have that power. I can come up here and say, I want everybody to do 20 push-ups right now. Some of you might do it because it sounds fun to do 20 push-ups in church. But I don't have the authority to get everybody off their seats to do 20 push-ups. Now, if Jesus was up here, the man that died but didn't stay dead, was up here in all of his authority and said, "Everybody, we're doing some push-em-ups." Everybody's going to get up and do some push-em-ups because he just has all authority. I don't have that. There's not a person here that has that. There's something different where this man comes before us and he were to tell us to do push-ups, we'd be doing some push-em-ups right here in church. So he says this, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me," to him. And then he asks us to do something. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to come see him at the end of my life not having done this thing that he asked us to do. Like, this is a very serious thing. Like, just as if he was here asking us to do some push-ups, like, we better do some push-ups because the dude's got all authority in heaven and earth. So I don't care what he says. What he's about to say is extremely important. Extremely important. What does he say? He says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." There was this plan that was going to be beautiful. Ezra was going to get baptized today. And it was going to be a beautiful point. This highlight, bam, all authority, make disciples. Boom, it happened. And then the dude broke his arm. So thanks, Ezra. No. This is it. So we talk about extending God's kingdom. This is 100% Great Commission. The mission, the commission of Christ that he gave us, extend God's kingdom. This isn't just a Christ-centered core value. This is a Christ core value. This is, if you are a believer in Jesus, if you are a Christ follower, this is a core value you possess. And if it isn't, now you know that it needs to be. Why should we care about this? Because the dude that's got all authority in heaven and earth, the man that died but didn't stay dead, said so. That's why. There's no other way around it. I mean, that's why. Why should you care? Because he said so. It's not about feelings. It's not about questions. He didn't say, "I have all authority, and now I want you guys to gather in a building and sing songs and praise and worship." Those are good things. Not saying those are bad things. He didn't say, "I want you to study scripture." It's a good thing. Not saying that's a bad thing. But the mission is to go and make disciples. That's the mission. Go and extend God's kingdom. Wherever you are, whoever you're with, you're not there by accident. There are people around you. There's this idea that if you interact with people, you're a leader, just by default. It doesn't matter your title, your role, but in the kingdom, you're a leader. Go and make disciples, extend God's kingdom. Let's talk about the how. Everyone tracking with the why? Because he said so? I mean, that's basically it. That's basically it. So as Jason alluded to, I work with the Junction City Police Department. I've been there since about 2017, on and off, whatever. I do everything in the verb except basically be a police officer, which is fun for me. I've worked for two different chiefs. I'm only going to talk about one of them. There's a whole other story I could talk about the previous chief, but I ain't going to get there. Let's talk about Chief Mark Waddell. He's the current chief of police. One thing I will say about Chief Waddell is the dude loves this city. He cares about the city. He cares about the people in this city. Every morning, we go to Max Porter's. We have a little debrief, we call it, or briefing. And it's really just, we just go get coffee. Sometimes we talk about work. Sometimes we don't. A lot of times, what we actually talk about is scripture, is the sermon we heard on the Sunday, is a theological idea of like once saved, always saved was the last conversation him and I got into. The dude really cares, and he carries his faith into his work. He cares about the city. He's like around the streets picking up trash. He recently awarded a citizen a chief's award, merit award, because he noticed that she's always around picking up trash. The dude is like, he notices when they spray painted the curbs that there's like some overspray on the sidewalk and it drives him nuts because it doesn't look great. I'm like, dude, chill. It's actually not that bad. But he's really anal about this because he cares about the city. He really cares about the city. He has this gentle way of displaying it. But there's also, I want to share a story about an interaction I've seen with him that also is an element of extending God's kingdom. That's an element of this authority. Here's a little side mission for anyone out there. Count how many times I say the word authority. I'm curious. So there was this guy in one of the city buildings. He was being all kinds of disorderly, all kind of profanities, a transient kind of person, making a lot of people uncomfortable. The officer that was on duty was tied up with a priority call, so he couldn't really get there right away. And I was in the hallway kind of just monitoring, making sure the dude didn't go crazy, too crazy. And then Chief comes in. He comes in, and I don't know if you guys know Chief Waddell, but he's like, I don't know, he might be listening, so I got to be careful what I'm saying. He's like, gosh, I don't want to get this wrong. He's got to be like 5'8", maybe 5'9". But he's probably like 5'6", I don't know. He's not a big person, that's what I'm trying to say. He's not like a tall, he's not a Mark Wall kind of big guy. But he comes into this hallway, this guy's acting crazy. I'm telling you, this dude grew to like 27 feet tall. I don't know how he did. I don't know if any of you guys have seen Lord of the Rings, but there's a scene with Bilbo, and he's about to leave the Shire, and him and Gandalf had decided, hey, I'm going to leave the ring for Frodo. And then when it comes time to leave the ring, Bilbo's like, I don't want to leave the ring. And he says, Gandalf, you're just trying to take it for yourself. And Gandalf gets big. He says, Bilbo Baggins, I am not trying to rob you. I'm trying to help you. That same thing happened with Chief in that hallway. I saw it would happen. I'm like, oh, man, okay, I need to leave. I thought I was in trouble for a second. It was amazing. I've never known a person to grow like that in that moment. But he got big, and the dude just left because he has authority. And that's worldly authority. We're talking about kingdom authority here. This is a different level. It's a different level. But in that same way, I want you to keep that picture in your mind. In that same way, that's the level of authority that we can walk in our lives, into our workplaces, to our marriages, into our parenting, our relationships with our friends, into wherever. We have that authority. How do we have that authority? Because what Jesus did after this commission, after he commissioned his believers, there were the 11, some women, potentially more people were there to hear this great commission. He didn't just say, okay, y'all good, go. He said, actually, I need you to wait, because if you just go as is, you're going to mess everything up again. He says, wait, I'm going to send you a helper. The Holy Spirit's going to come. He's going to be with you. And so they waited. Eventually, we know the story. Holy Spirit comes. They're inside, and there's like a hurricane, sound of a hurricane. This rushing wind comes through, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says that it's better that I go than I stay so that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why is it better? Because Jesus is still just a man. He can only be in one place at one time. Now that we have the Holy Spirit, guess what that means? That means I can walk in that same level of authority. Look, I come up here with a lot of nerves. I come up here with a lot of nerves. My flesh does not want to do this. Sometimes I even like tremble. I didn't have the trembles today, praise God. But I'm able to do this because I believe in this. I believe that there is the Holy Spirit in me. I believe that despite my flesh, that I can be used in such a way that can impact people. Even if it's something that, like, my flesh is like, you might say something stupid, so I don't know if you want to do this, which I still might, who knows. But I digress. Because we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are able to be ambassadors for Christ. We are able to bring that level of authority. That's why we pray in Jesus' name, right? That's why we pray in Jesus' name, because I don't have the authority to intervene in disease. I don't have the authority to physically heal, to provide miraculously, to multiply bread, to multiply. I don't have that authority, but Jesus does. So that's why we pray in Jesus' name. We are ambassadors of Christ, and we're ambassadors of this authority, and we get to carry this and bring this level of authority into our areas of influence. That's what we get to do. So that means that Jesus can be in the Junction City Police Department through me. He can be at Roberts & Sons Fine Cabinetry through Ben Wilcox. He can be at Star Construction through Josiah Starr. He can be everywhere with each of us at the same time. He can be at home with moms, with Abby, with Aliona, with Shannon. He can be in our houses. We carry that authority with us. So we walk around. I don't know if any of you ever seen how Amy Baker walks into a room. You know what I'm talking about? That girl walks into a room with some authority, a little bit of sweat. Same with Felix, James Felix over here. You see him walk into a room, he's got that swag. Because he's got that authority. He knows. He knows he's got the Spirit of God in him, and we all got that. So we get to do this together. This is how Chief presented himself in this moment, and this is how we all get to present ourselves as well. Now, how do I do this? How have I done this? How have I tried to do this, I should say? Like I said, I wear a lot of hats in the police department. I've talked last time I was up here, I talked about how I fell into this opportunity to be the defensive tactics instructor. What that means is, one thing I say is, like, there's a difference between officers going home and officers going home whole. Meaning that you put an officer in a use of force encounter, maybe they have to deploy a tool and to bring peace to that situation. And with that comes an internal investigation. They get their firearm taken away. They're on administrative paid leave. And there's a lot of stress. There's the public court. There's the legal court they have to go through to see if it was justified, unjustified. It's a process. Now you take that same incident and you put an officer in there that's comfortable going hands-on, that's able to take the subject to the ground, maybe subdue them, control them, put them in cuffs, arrest them, take them to the jail. They get to go home at the end of the shift. None of that IA, none of that stuff. The difference between those two things is training. That's all it is. It's my job as a defensive tactics instructor to help give these officers this tool. It's just another tool. It's not like the best way, the only way. It's just a tool where they can mitigate the potential risk to access other force options. So I take this very seriously. I understand the implications of it. And at the same time, I go to these trainings. I'm in a room full of cops. This is 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I went to this training, Code 4 Concepts, Police Jiu-Jitsu. Really cool stuff. It was more like an MMA training for cops. And I'm in this room with 19 other officers. The lead instructor is like, he's been a black belt in Jiu-Jitsu for 16 years, he's been a black belt in jiu-jitsu, and it takes like 10 years to be a black belt. He's a high-level guy. The other instructor was this professional MMA fighter, big cauliflower ear, big thick neck-looking dude. Like, you just look at him, you know you don't want to mess with him. Those were the two instructors, and then in the room were all these officers, and the officers that attended this training are kind of, there was a different crew. It was a different crew. There was other black belts in the class. There was other, like, Muay Thai guys in the class. There was a judo black belt in the class. Like, these were like the fit officers, not the typical officer that you see. These were the fit ones. And so I'm at this training. I arrived to the first day, and I always deal with this imposter syndrome because I'm not a cop, and I have to teach cops about handcuffing, about inside position, about resisting people, blah blah blah. I'm not a cop. At the end of the day, like, I don't have to do it, so I struggle with this imposter syndrome every time before I instruct, Every time before I go to a training, I struggle with this imposter syndrome. And especially it was really bad at this one because all these guys were so high level. And what I do is like, I remember that I'm not here by accident. I remember that like there was an obvious path that I felt like the Lord weaved that brought me into this mat room on this day for this specific training. And Chief Waddell played a huge part in that, by the way. And so what do? I step on the mats. I step on the mats anyway. I'm like, here we go. When it comes time to introduce ourselves, I say, yep, I'm Isaac Cox, work for Junction City Police Department, not a cop. And this last one, I was like, I was a former dispatcher, so yeah, you're about to learn defensive tactics from a dispatcher, which is unconventional to say the least. I just don't pretend to be anything I'm not. It's really important that I present in that way. I don't pretend to be something I'm not, but I'm in this room with these officers. I have some skill, I believe, and I might have something to offer, and I definitely have a lot to learn. And as the week goes on, this is a week-long training, as the week goes on, every single time I'm in one of these trainings, every single time, about day 3, maybe day 4, people are starting to talk to me like, hey, have you ever seen this on the road? Have you ever seen that on the road? Have you ever dealt with this? Have you dealt with that? I'm like, remember, I'm not a cop. No, I haven't done with that. The thing is, it's like, as I walk into these areas and into these mat rooms, I remember this authority. Like, I walk in with my chest out and my head up. Intentionally, I take my slippers off. I step on the mat. I don't walk on the mat like this. I walk up. I walk on the mat like I'm ready, like I belong there, because I know that God has sent me there. So I do belong there. I have that authority, not because I have authority, but because the Holy Spirit's in me, and God's weaved a path for me to be in this place at this time for this reason. So I can walk in there with my chest out and my head up. What happens, like I said, around day 3 or 4, it's almost as if I grow in the eyes of those around me. Just like Chief did in that moment, just like Gandalf did in the Shire. And we can all do this. This is the thing that I want to point out. It's like, we carry this authority. Anyone keeping track of authority still? We carry this level of authority. So we get to do this. We get to partner in this kind of way. This is how we make disciples and how we extend God's kingdom. There's going to be moments where we might feel like imposter syndrome setting in. There's going to be moments where we might feel like I'm not qualified, like these people aren't going to take me seriously, which, by the way, sometimes that does happen with me, especially at this last training. Side note, there was this one guy that was like made a face when I said I used to be a dispatcher. I'm like, okay, I want to roll with that guy so I can put him in his place. But anyway, I digress. Focus. You guys track with me about this authority aspect, okay? So as you are in your workplaces, I want you to understand that you're not there by accident. You're not there by accident. That we are all missionaries. If I were to give this sermon a title, Beyond, We're Called to Extend God's Kingdom, it would be, we are all missionaries. Now, granted, there are those missionaries that are sent overseas that have abandoned, left their families, their houses, that have paid a price to go and preach and make disciples of all nations, and maybe they got another crown or another jewel in their crown. That doesn't mean that, like, we are all missionaries. All of us are missionaries. We got to have that mindset and that framework when we're in our workplaces. This is essential to the Great Commission. The man that has all authority has asked us to do this. So we have to understand we're not where we are by accident. Absolutely, 100%. That's real. Right? Yes. Perfect. So another aspect of my job is, which I'll be very brief on this one. I know everyone's wanting to watch the World Cup today, blah, blah, blah. Wellness coordinator. There's been this need in the department, in law enforcement, I should say, in general, that's been catered around officer wellness. And so the department chief wanted to have a wellness coordinator. I'm like, hey, I like fitness. I can probably do something like that for everybody. And long story short, I ended up writing this grant And we got a $15,000 grant to build a gym in the PD so them officers can get swole and start getting some muscles, and we can start looking like some wild lions. There's this idea of zoo lions and wild lions. It's a whole other sermon for another day. But no zoo lions. No zoo lions in Junction City PD. If any of y'all are watching. My point with all this is saying, like, we have to look for opportunities. My point with all this, I don't get paid a dime extra to be a defensive tactics instructor. I don't get paid extra to be a wellness coordinator. I don't get paid extra to provide any of these trainings. It's not the point. To me, it's not the point. I saw this need in an area that I was already at. I identified, like, I might be able to influence this area a little bit. Thank God I have a chief, I have a boss that's a believer, that loves the Lord, that believes in the mission of Christ, believes in the mission of church, and he also saw that in me, and he allowed for it to happen. And then I just do it, despite imposter syndrome and all these things. Like, it's not actually, like, we say the simple gospel because it's not, like, complicated, really. It's like, the people around you, be nice, be kind. Walk in authority in situations. What does that look like? That doesn't always mean, like, chest high, head up. It means like, oh, there's people gossiping and slandering over here. I'm gonna walk into this situation with some self-control. It means like, there are people over here that are, I don't know, arguing with one another. I'm gonna walk into the situation with some gentleness. Parents, me, just last night, my boys, Ezra, Moses, 8 and 6-ish, I don't know. They're driving me crazy. And like, there was a point where I was like, walked in their bedroom, closed the door behind me, yelling, getting in bed, lay your head down, putting them in bed. And then Abby comes in. What's going on? Tell me, Isaac, it seems like this is what Ezra's feeling. It makes a lot of sense when you think about it. I'm like, yeah, you're right. She's able to walk into that situation with some authority in the spirit of gentleness, which is what that area needed. It's what I needed. It's what the boys needed. And then they went to bed. It was amazing. Just happened last night. So obviously I'm still working on this anyway. So just to end this, what I want to do are two things. One, I'd love for the prayer servant team to come forward. And what I would ask of people that would like to get prayer today is a specific thing. And it's okay if nobody comes up, my feelings won't be hurt. One, and the specific thing is like, I want prayer to walk in a level of understanding and confidence of this piece of my identity in Christ, that I have authority to influence and impact my workplace. And I want prayer to have that be something that is in top of my mind when I go to work tomorrow, that I'm going to walk in those doors like Amy Baker walks into these doors with her chest up, her head up, chest out, head up, carrying some authority in Jesus' name, right? And two, I would like to reiterate this mission. In the name of Jesus Christ, we, Christ Center, commission y'all, me, all of us, the saints, for the work of the ministry. It's something that Joshua says all the time. We commission you guys to go and make disciples, to extend God's kingdom wherever you are. This is a life and death situation. Like, this is soul. We have to take this seriously because Jesus said so. He came back from the dead. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. I don't want to come before him not having taken this seriously. I don't want that for you. So if the prayer servant team can come forward, let's get some prayer. Thank you.